Hello and good morning and welcome to Saxo's market call. It's Friday, January 21st. It's me and Altea today on the deck. We're missing Peter, we're missing John, but hopefully we should be back to some more strengths next week. But we'll get through what's going on because there are obviously plenty of stuff going on. Let's start with the US stock market on slide two here in today's deck, as we saw another attempt to recover yesterday, only to be reversed into the final hours of trading. The Nasdaq 100 slumped below the 15,000 mark, and basically below that 200-day moving average, which has been highlighting this week as a key level for the near-term outlook for the market. So this is really key, and especially as we go into the weekend, because it is a key major level. So we need a confirmation below that level today. So today's price action could be quite significant for what happens next week. Just to put out a couple of stock market news. I'm sure you all read the headlines, both from Netflix and Peloton. Basically, seeing some of these COVID-19 lockdown so-called darlings starting to feel the heat, as I put here on slide three. Netflix disappointed in the after releasing their results last night after the close. Basically, seeing a slowdown in the number of subscribers. They already had a subscription in 2021 was already down 50% on 2020, which obviously was a record during the lockdown period. But the expectation for new subscribers this year or this quarter disappointed the market by quite a significant margin. So basically indicating weak earnings ahead. So we slumped 20% in after hours trading down towards that $400 mark. Another one is Peloton. Which has been based on a slippery slope basically since hitting a record high last January, and the big drop we saw yesterday was more than 20% was driven by a rumor that they were going to halt production of bikes and threads, and that was later denied by the CEO, but it just indicates that this company is a massive fall from grace. But overall, with all this happening, we have to remember that what really kicked off this weakness was not only the bond market yields rising, but also to a certain extent the rally we had in crude oil. Crude oil is drifting lower today. There's some risk off and some profit taking coming into that. But we could potentially also see bond markets just try to recover a bit here on as it attracts a safe haven a bit. But Altea, bond yields are going down, but real yields are most certainly not. So that's also hurting precious metals this morning. But tell me what's going on there.
Absolutely, Ola. So yesterday was quite interesting to see bond yields in the US drifting a little bit lower. And actually, with this safe haven bid that we had following news that the US will allow Baltic states to send more arms to Ukraine, escalating basically the geopolitical tensions that we're witnessing to there. The 10-year US nominal yields broke below 1.8%, and now they are trading below this level. But while everything was happening in the nominal yield space, well, we had a 10-year U.S. Treasury auction for TIPS, and what happened there is that it was really badly received by investors. The auction tailed by 2.6 basis points. It was sold at a yield of 0.54%. The bid to cover was the lowest since July 2020, and indirect bidders were down to 59%, which is the lowest since May. So what this auction is telling us is that despite there is this safe haven bid that we might see because of geopolitical tensions, investors are pretty convinced that the Federal Reserve was stick to a very aggressive tightening path and would hike interest rates four times this year. If that is were true, then we should see break-even rates adjusting lower and real rates accelerating. So definitely that is going to be negative for tips holders. But I wanted to take you on slide number five because I put together total return, year-to-date total returns for various bond assets. And as you can see, despite real yields are accelerating higher, really the ones to pay the consequences are not lower rated credits, but are bonds that carry very long durations. So US treasuries with 20 years and plus maturities dropped by minus 4.2% since the beginning of the year. Investment grade corporate bonds dropped 3.4%, while if we look at junk, both in US dollars and euro, but is just down basically half of what we see in long-term maturity bonds. So basically, Ula, everything just to say that negative real yields are still supportive, lower rated credits. But I think that if we see that minus 0.5% challenged in real rates, that's when we start to see the spread in junk widening consistently, because the financing conditions are going to tighten faster from that point going forwards.
And that's really interesting what we're seeing there right now, Althea. And it's also adding some nervousness, I would say, to the stock market, because as we're saying, as you're pointing out here, just as an example today, we got 10-year nominal yields down by around 1.5 basis points, but then we got the break evens or real yields up by around 8.5, hitting a new cycle high in this this time round, around negative 0.54. So let's keep an eye on that negative 0.5% level. And with all this, basically, one thing's got to give, and that what's giving this is break-even yields, as you mentioned, which are coming down by 9 basis points. Basically, the market looking for tough action from the FOMC to quell inflation, but that tough action is also what the stock market is worried about. So it's a bit of a catch-22 here. So most certainly, we need to keep a close eye on bond markets, because it's giving us a lot of signals right now. Turning to the commodity space, and I put in a table of this week's performance here on slide 7, and for a change, we actually have a couple of investment metals on top, platinum and silver. But with the change we're seeing over the last hour here in these real yields, we are seeing some profit taking also hitting the precious metal market. We got gold back down towards the 1830 support level, so that's going to be key to watch here ahead of the weekend. But generally, it's been a week where we've seen some of the recent high flyers starting to just a bit of profit taking come in. We saw crude oil close to 2% right now, and it was probably long overdue. We mentioned that early in the week. RSIs were overbought. We had the first stock built in the US yesterday in 8 weeks. We got the US government threatening with additional supplies from strategic reserves, just taking this thing out of the rally, but the fundamentals remain solid at this stage. Just before we have some more bond news, just want to pass on just to, you mentioned the Ukraine-Russia fears, Althea, and this is really also keeping the European gas and power market in limbo. As you can see on slide 8, we've gone into a bit of a stalemate here in gas prices, stuck here between 70 and 80 euros per megawatt. And if it wasn't for the war risks or the risk to Ukraine supplies or supplies through Ukraine, we probably would have seen gas prices quite significantly lower, because we are seeing quite a surge in supplies of gas coming in from ships via LNG, and you can see that here on the inserts on slide 8. So that's supporting the gas storage situation at this moment in time. But any conflict on the eastern borders could have a significant upward reaction to the price. Before I just pass on to you, back to you, Alcee, I just want to highlight, as I mentioned, those two darlings this week in the commodity space, platinum and silver. But you can see here on slide nine that we're both hitting 200-day moving averages. So again, both these markets are likely to run into some profit taking here in the near term. This is a key level which has not been been broken for quite a while since the middle part of last year. So a technical level where some profit taking likely to emerge. And just returning to you, Altair, because you also brought a slide with what's happening in the European bond market this week, where we've been hovering around 0% in German bond yields.
Absolutely. I put a Bund yield slide chart on slide number six. But the point that I want to make is that yesterday we had positive sentiment in European sovereign bonds because the market is pushing back on 2022 rate hikes. So it looks less likely that the ECB will be as aggressive as the market expects. We had yesterday Lagarde and the COS mentioning that it's very improbable that the ECB will hike interest rates this year. And that is definitely helpful for European sovereign bonds. And the ones to gain the most are the ones with the highest beta, which in this case is Italy, which yesterday the 10-year yields dropped by 4 basis points. But something else happened to support valuations for yields for valuations of European sovereigns in the euro area, which is the ECB minutes of the December meeting have been released. And despite the show a big division among members, it's mentioned in the minutes that the ECB is yes trying to normalize monetary policy this year and then the next, but is doing so with maximum flexibility. So if something happens worth correcting, the ECB would go back on its step and remain more accommodative compared, for example, with other central banks such as the Federal Reserve. Also something interesting that the minutes mentioned is that they see the risk of being too aggressive in terms of monetary policies in flattening the European yield curve. That's interesting because normally the ECB has seen instead financing conditions and the spreads of European sovereigns as being the main threat. So that shift in focus, it could allow actually this the central bank to be slightly more aggressive and being less, less supportive for example, the bonds from the periphery. But obviously, I don't think that it will come down to that for the simple reason that if there is volatility in the periphery, that would affect also the Nordic countries and obviously like financing conditions across the European Union.
Thank you very much for that, Althea. Before we end up the podcast, just want to for being a commodity guy as I am, I take the opportunity of being the host just to return back to slide seven to this week's performance, just to highlight some of the reasons we're seeing in some of these moves. Just take a look at wheat, which is behind the silver and platinum as the best performing as the third best performing sector this week. This is purely down to a large degree down to the risk of a conflict in Ukraine. Remember, Russia and Ukraine are both major exporters of wheat, so that that potentially could upset the global supply chains if we see something happening there. So that's why wheat is being supported. Other markets like soybeans and sugar, they are supported through the biofuel link to the rising crude oil prices. Also, one that's worth keeping an eye on. Okay, I think we'll stop it there. The calendar today is relatively thin. I think the main thing is really where we end the week, with some of the breakouts we had this week, whether we can muster some support back into the market. So we will certainly keep a close eye on that 15,000 level in the Nasdaq for clues as to where we may head next week. Another week, which is going to be critically important, not only for the market action in the stocks, but also what's going to happen at the FOMC meeting on January 26th. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend when you get there, and we'll be back on Monday. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.